Welcome to the Mumbrella Cast, recorded at the studios of CBS Interactive. Our guest is Henry Tasia, boss of Media Brands, and this week appointed president of the Media Federation of Australia. Now, Henry, I should probably start by asking about your predecessor in the role, Gary Hardwick. What sort of state has he left the MFA in for you?
Well, Gary has left the MFA in a great state. It's fair to say Gary's been a fantastic leader of the MFA over the last three and a half years, and the initiatives that Gary has led and supported and pushed through have all been really positive. And we've as an MFA under Gary's leadership, we're all really proud of the achievements we've made. So he leaves it in really good state. My job is to make sure that I don't tarnish that or go backwards, which I'm pretty confident we'll be able to keep going forward.
Well, for people who don't know, the Media Federation, effectively, it's the voice of Australia's media agencies. You look slightly like you disagree with me on that point.
Maybe not the voice, but the Media Federation of Australia is a really effective group of the media agencies in town, the majority of the media agencies in town, who come together to work on and to push the industry forward. And we do that in a really collaborative and in highly spirited fashion, which in my view has enabled us to achieve the things we've been able to achieve. And there are a list of achievements that we could rattle off.
We'll chat about a few of those as well. I suppose to me the hardest thing, and this is always the same with any industry body, is effectively you're all rivals, but you're sitting around the same table and trying to work how you can work together. That must be a bit of a diplomatic tightrope in itself.
I think there is some truth to that dynamic. The members of the executive committee, which is the group that comes together on a regular basis, have all sort of been long-standing committee members, and through that period of time, everyone's comfort levels around each other has definitely increased, and it's actually amazingly, as much as we are rivals when we're not in those meetings. And we all know how competitive our industry can be. There is a level of collaboration and partnership that takes place that is actually a really, really good thing to be part of, and it's actually quite unique. So, what we don't have is any sort of rivalry that takes place in those meetings or within any of the initiatives that the MFA sort of champion and push through, which is great.
Well, let's talk about a few of the initiatives. I suppose one of the big ones that I think you've already flagged up as having a sort of further push is NGEN.
Yep.
Well, maybe first of all describe what NGEN is.
Well, NGEN is short for Next Generation, and NGEN is, the crux of what the Media Federation is all about. And the MFA really focuses on the future, whether it's measurement, accountability, new media, or the obvious things that we talk about and have been talking about. But more and more we came to the realization that it's really about ensuring that we have an industry moving forward, and the only way to really harness and nurture that is by taking the time and the effort and the investment in the young new starters in our industry, and helping support, mentor, and provide as much guidance and excitement at the same time.
Now,
for them,
as it happens, I spoke at a event organised by Starcom this week, which one of the groups of people they'd invited was sort of students, almost before they'd worked in the jobs, and chatting to them afterwards, one of the things that really struck me was that they kind of understood what ad agencies did, but I don't think most of the students in the room, even, and this is a horrible condemnation of my abilities as a speaker, I think, but even sort of after the event and after having the speaker, I got the sense that most of those students in the room didn't really understand what a media agency did. And I wonder if that's one of the biggest problems that media agencies have always had, is how do you attract people when it's actually quite hard to explain what it is you do?
It's a good point. I think as a as a broader industry, the last few years, we are seeing it easier to attract, actually, through some of the work that our education committee has done, led by Linda Wong for the MFA. We have engaged with, almost a dozen universities and colleges around Australia, educating and informing them of what media agencies actually do. We've been actively involved in curriculum construction and setting. We've lectured. We have a trainee and cadetship program that most of them MFA agencies participate in.
Do you think that most people come into the industry almost by accident, though, or is that kind of changing?
I think that is changing. I think our inlet points and the way in which agencies are feeding their talent needs is much more structured, and the people that the agencies are talking to have a better understanding of what they're getting themselves into.
How did you get into the industry in the first place? What route did you take?
I took the finance department route. I finished a finance degree and thought I was going to become an accountant until I realised that the people in the media department were the people who were going to all the parties and getting all the free stuff. So I put my hand up very quickly. So through that entry, I sort of got a good sense of what a media agency was all about, and it was exciting. 20 years ago, it pales in comparison to how exciting things are now, and the number of opportunities that we create for young guys and girls, day to day.
Well, let's talk about some of the other issues that the MFA has kind of got on its list. I think one of the next ones that you guys have flagged up is the issue of print accountability. Now, I guess that's both across magazines and newspapers.
Yep.
What do you see as the big issues that still need tackling there?
Well, I think we are working with all the publishers and with the agencies and our clients to get a better understanding of issue-specific information so that we can understand and use those channels more effectively.
So for those who aren't close to the audit process, at the moment you'll kind of have an idea of on average how a newspaper's done or on average how a magazine's done, but you won't know whether a particular cover has worked for a particular magazine or whether Monday sells better than Wednesday for a newspaper.
That's correct.
For instance.
That's correct. And having a stronger understanding of what happens on a day-to-day or cover-to-cover, we're not really looking for cover, it's more monthly, and I think that will help us, manage and use those channels more effectively. This is by no means, and we've said this a number of times, this is not an approach that we're taking to belittle. We're actually looking to pedestal and to strengthen.
Because I suppose the fear for a newspaper, say, would be, if you knew that, and I don't know this to be a fact, but say you knew Friday to be a really bad day for sales for a newspaper, then potentially you'd expect a discount on your advertising for that day, for instance, I guess would be the fear of the newspapers.
I think that's a big assumption. The converse to that is Monday is a really high-selling day and potentially worth more than what it's currently being sold for. So, we're working with averages. Averages are averages, and how and why people use newspapers on which days, could be more beneficial having more information, and I think that's really in simple terms what we're looking for, I think slowly but surely we are getting there.
Now, as an organisation, you had your AGM this week, and the kind of the release that came out from that afterwards, sort of felt to me like maybe a degree of frustration with the response or lack of it from the magazine industry in particular was one that you sort of flagged up as a slow progress was the phrase used. That's obviously at the kind of level of MFA talking to the magazine industry.
Yeah.
Do you detect the conversations are happening maybe at agency level? Oh,
definitely. I think there are conversations happening in a multitude of layers and levels. My personal experience with the conversations are pretty positive, actually. The comments that were included as part of the MFA's release to market did express the fact that we thought things were moving slowly, but that in no means is meant to be, you know, a negative criticism. It is a big change, and we understand that. It was also at a time when the magazine and the broader industry, you know, went through difficult times in terms of trading conditions, and you know, the backdrop was pretty ominous for a lot of publishers. There was a lot of consolidation. So, you know, in terms of key priorities from a publisher perspective, I can understand, and so can the MFA, that maybe over the last 12 to 18 months, it hasn't been a priority. But all the discussions we're having thus far, you know, seem to give us the indication that we will work through this, and you know, we're going to get to something better than what we have.
Now, none of the magazine publishers wanted to go on the record when we were trying to talk to them about it this week.
Right.
Somebody from one magazine owner did make the point that there's a kind of frustration from the magazine owner side that on the one hand, the MFA wants this greater transparency, but on the other, individual agencies still carry on trading and buying advertising from magazines which either don't have an audit or have a CAB audit, which measures effectively the number printed rather than the number bought.
Yes.
So, you know, why are they jumping through all these hurdles to reach these high standards if media agencies keep trading with people who aren't having any transparency at all?
Well, I think, you need to lead by example, and, you know, the public... And I'm not sure, you know, who has made that comment, but if there are magazines that aren't, you know, putting themselves up for accountability and transparency, and the rest of the market starts to move in that direction, I think those magazines and those titles will be questioned as to why not, and they'll have to, you know, address that issue, you know, on an individual basis. So I don't think this is about picking on any individual, or you know, whether you're, you know, you know, whether you're part of the audit or whether you're not. I think this is about broader transparency, broader accountability, and just common sense information.
Now, I guess while we're on audit topics, the other one that's been hot recently is the issue of online audits and auto refresh.
Yes.
Where do you stand on that?
Well, I just think again, common sense needs to prevail. I think, you know, technology is a wonderful thing, but where technology is being used to artificially, a metric that isn't a true figure, well, I think the whole market would agree that, you know, that's something that needs to be, you know, looked into and managed.
Now, for those who don't know, auto refresh is where, without the user asking it to, the page is refreshed several times, sometimes to deliver new content, but at the same time, new ads get generated as well.
That's
which,
right.
Which of course, there's a cost involved for the advertiser. Then,
oh, that's correct, and it really comes down to how an agency and or their advertiser is engaging in a commercial discussion with that publisher, and you know, most of the agencies are, you know, attuned to what they should and shouldn't be doing, and that's for agencies to resolve on their own. I think, at a broader level, to be in a market as sophisticated as the Australian market is, and as cutting edge as it is, for us to be having, squabbles or issues with online measurement or the auto refresh issue, really points to us and the digital publishers needing to get this resolved quickly. The digital publishers and the digital sector within our market has seen tremendous growth and is a very relevant part of modern day comms and marketing. And for their accountability and measurement to be not the highest standard in the market is a bit of an ironic position to be in, I think.
So, with that medium of all,
exactly,
media.
With the medium that, you know, is the most accountable medium, you know, not to have the most robust and uniform and effective measurement matrix is a little at odds.
Now, another issue which has been flagged up as a sort of priority for the coming year is, and hopefully you can explain this one to me, improved software systems to cope with the sort of fragmentation of media, I guess, is about... And I might be overcharacterizing, but automating the bit that can be automated.
Yeah, I think Tim, that's pretty much it. You know, I think most agencies around town have used the term "let technology do the heavy lifting," and you know, we look at the Australian media sector and the number of transactions that create and make up the 12 billion plus market that we all sort of operate in, and you know, when you drill down further and look at how manual those, I would say, billions of transactions are, actually trillions. There would be trillions of transactions in real terms if you include
each individual spot, for instance. Well,
that's exactly what we're talking about, and you know, it's a huge number when you then include digital. For us to be still operating on a sort of archaic paper-based or email or sort of fax-based process is something that is a glaring area of opportunity for us to survive longer term, to maintain a level of efficiency within our own businesses, and to be operating in an efficient way for our clients.
How does this compare to other parts of the world, though? Is anybody much further ahead than that?
I think there are a couple of smaller European markets that are looking into this. You know, around Asia, there isn't that level of sophistication, and there are, you know, a multitude of issues that come in and around the number of media companies in the market as well, which creates the complexity. But I think like we do in true Australian fashion, Australia has always been, you know, in charge of its own destiny and has created, you know, a market for itself by being intuitive and innovative within our spectrum. The best way to sort of illustrate an example of what we want to try and get to is to look at the Australian Stock Exchange and the Australian Futures Exchange and how they have evolved over the last 20 years to become electronic platforms. What we're not saying by any stretch of the imagination that we want to commoditise media.
Because this is what will scare the media owners, isn't it?
And we're not saying that at all. There is significant upside for everybody in the industry, media, agencies and clients alike, because everybody's in that process, either on the receiving end, on the giving end, or on the approving end. And to put technology in place to help us manage that tonnage in a more efficient way makes complete sense.
Up front, it sounds like a big investment, though.
Well, I think when you look at it, it probably will be a big investment, and I think a big investment shared by all in the market makes it a manageable investment on an individual.
So media agencies and media owners, for instance.
I think and clients.
Advertisers, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something that is you know, all encompassing.
And how far down the line are you with it? Is it just an idea at this stage, or is it an idea that you're pretty confident it's going to happen?
We think if you take a few you know, a mid to longer term future view, it has to happen. We can't afford for it not. We won't survive, you know, under the current model if it continues with a number of new media opportunities and channels coming through. That's only going to increase. There has been a fair level of discussion, and as an MFA, we've started a process, and we'll continue that. I think there's broad consensus across all the agency members that this is a step in the right direction.
What's the next step that will happen then?
I think we need to understand more about, you know, how and what technology will actually do. We need to understand how we can create this technology, the cost, how we can ensure that it is a technology that is agnostic to the media industry's various technology platforms.
So you can book as easily radio as newspapers,
exactly,
or online, for
exactly,
instance.
And you know, and in the context of knowing that one radio network has a different structure to another radio network, let alone a newspaper group, a television group, an online group.
And might it go as far as actually managing the delivery of the advertising content as well?
Well, I think it potentially, you know, creates a pathway for the content to be delivered on. Yeah, definitely.
Which I suppose for the Dubsats and the their kind of sort of rival players, that potentially creates a threat, I suppose.
Well, it may not be a threat, but also an opportunity.
I guess they could be the ones who end up being the provider. Well,
They could be part of a collaborative group of technologies that come together to create, you know, what we're talking about. And I think it's really important to say that, you know, when you think of something like this, you think of what it could be right at the end, and that's not how it will start. Obviously, it will start very simply, and it will most likely start with one key media. And I think television is probably the channel where technology is doing a lot of that already, and obviously digital. But there are some systems already in place that are helping us manage that for television activity, and improving that, refining that, and expanding that is really the big opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Changing topics again, one of the other interesting things, which was just a single line, but investigating the opportunities for an industry superannuation fund. So yeah. There's certainly a print super. Is there a media super? Maybe there is, but this would be something specific to media agencies.
No, well, we haven't really gotten to that level of detail, whether it's media or print or anything like that. What we do know is within the advertising sector, when you look at all the components that make up the advertising sector, we've had a sort of rough guesstimate that there, amongst all the employees and people involved, there are significant amounts of superannuation that are distributed amongst many different super funds. Where we currently stand, everyone has their, everyone can decide where and how they, manage their superannuation funds. A number of other industries in the last few years have taken this step to create their own industry fund, and those industry funds enable them to offer, their employees benefits, lower fees, et cetera, et cetera. And that's really the crux of the idea. It's by no means any more than, a seedling in the thoughts of the MFA and the MFA Finance Committee, which is led by Vince Maioli, have taken on board that as an initiative to thrash out and to potentially look into.
Now, how do you see the MFA Awards developing?
I think the MFA Awards have been on a fantastic development trajectory. I think this year will again break most records in terms of entries, attendance, participation, judging, et cetera, et cetera. In the view of the committee, and I've been personally involved in that over the last couple of years, it is alive and well, and the work that we have seen and judged this year is proof of how strong the awards are. I think moving forward, it's only going to get stronger.
Mm. Now, we should probably just very quickly explain what Media Brands is for people who don't know. So you're at the moment I can count at least three titles. So you're president of the MFA as of this week. You're chairman of Media Brands and have been for a while. And then I suppose the day job until Matt Baxter arrives is you're also keeping Universal McCann ticking over as well.
Yep.
So for people who don't know, it's probably just worth briefly explaining what Media Brands is.
Well, Media Brands is the media holding company that IPG created to manage all of the media businesses within the IPG family, and that includes UM Initiative. It also includes Reprise Media, which is our search practice. It includes Orion, which is our trade and barter business. It includes Media Brands Analytics, which is obviously analytics, modelling and accountability services. Yeah, and it also includes Ensemble, which is our branded content and branded experience business, which are all in operation and have been established in the Australian marketplace.
And just briefly, you've made a couple of fairly senior appointments recently. Tracy Michael Initiative.
Yep.
What led to Rod? Because she replaced Roger Camplison effectively.
That's correct.
What led to Roger's departure?
Well, I think part of the broader strategy and objective that we put in place for Media Brands in Australia, you know, was to get on a very strong and aggressive growth initiative and push. As a function of that, we, together with our colleagues at a global level, looked at every area of our business, from leadership to product to technology to tools, et cetera, and, reviewed whether we had, the right pieces to the puzzle in place to achieve that. And as a result of that, there were some decisions made that, pointed to some leadership change, and that was pretty much it.
And one of the other big changes is you're replacing yourself effectively with Matt Baxter.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. If I replace myself with Matt Baxter, then I think that's a really good thing for UM. I think it really just points to good succession. Matt and I have been talking about this for a while.
Matt's coming across from MediaCom, where he was heading up strategy.
That's correct. And Matt and I have known each other for many years. We worked together earlier on in both of our careers, and the decision to bring Matt on was a really simple decision. He is the only person we spoke to, and it really is about bringing to UM and to, at a broader level, Media Brands, complementary talent and complementary skills. And we and Matt felt that that complementary objective we had, was definitely going to be delivered with Matt.
And is he a risk as well? Most people in the industry would say that he's talented, but he's also fiery and he's young. So, it must be unusual to, I'm not sure how old he is, 30, 31, something like that. It must be unusual to appoint a CEO who's that sort of age.
Well, to be honest, I don't think age really has that much to do with it. We have an age-free view on how we promote and develop talent across all of Media Brands. Do I think Matt is a risk? No. I know Matt really well. I think, we are a well-balanced company at a UM level. We have a really strong balance and a strong sense of ability to be flexible and nimble at a Media Brands level, which enables us to manage any risk in our business, whether it's an individual or a team or a client or a relationship, to ensure that we manage risk, and that's part of any business. I think unfairly, Matt has been labelled risky, or I saw a reference to Matt as enfant terrible, which I looked at and I thought, well, I think that's a little bit unfair. I guess a perspective on Matt, and it's usually based on the fact that Matt will share his point of view.
And that's why journalists like him.
And I encourage it. I think as a industry and as a group, as a brand, UM has always wanted to share its point of view, whether it's through the press or through the work or through the people we hire. And I think, Matt will be a success within UM. I think, he's been a success in a number of businesses. And, it'll be a good combination with the leadership that we have. We've got some really strong people in our business. We have, Tracy Michael coming on board to initiative, strengthens Media Brands. Within UM, we've got Travis Johnson, our MD in Sydney. We have Peter Butler.
You just made an announcement for Melbourne as well.
Yes, we've just announced that Andrew Mudgeway will take on the initiative managing director role, and that's again another positive step forward for initiative. And what it's all about is to sort of demonstrate to our people and to our clients and to our media partners that Media Brands is a future-facing business that understands that you don't get a return on your people, on your product, and for your clients unless you invest in your business, in yourself. And, we're not the sort of group that wants revenue to then put on people. We will put people on and invest in talent to create the egg, so to speak.
And just going back, I guess, to the MFA and media generally, what do you see as the media outlook? I get the sense we've seen Fairfax seem to have kind of come back a bit. News Limited are sounding positive. We've got Kara globally, have been making their predictions globally, but particularly for Australia, they're saying, you know, 7.5% growth. Are you seeing that? Are you feeling pretty optimistic about where the media market is going?
I think the media market is growing. There's no question about it. Our expectation, and you know, not via the MFA, but more so via Magna Global, which is Media Brand's investment, you know, view on the market is relatively positive on an ongoing basis. You know, amongst the forecasters and commentators, or the crystal ballers in the marketplace, there is a variation. You know, there are some who are very positive, some who are a bit more cautious. I think at a Magna level, we are probably one of the more cautious, potentially conservative, and you know, that's, you know, on the basis of some of the broader international influences that, you know, we see and feel through the network. But the headline is we're optimistic. You know, we are seeing growth, we are in growth, and we believe that growth will continue over the next 12 months. The sectors within media that have seen decay, we believe, will get positive again. So we're expecting that within the period of between the next 12 and 18 months, every sector should get back into positive growth, which is a real symbol of the sort of strength and consistency and the sort of base that we have here in Australia.
Well, that's all we have time for now. You can read more at mumbrella.com.au. My thanks to CBS Interactive for use of the studio, to our guest, Henry Tager. Production was by Georgina Pearson. I'm Tim Burrows, and that was the Mumbrella Cast. Toodle-pip.